already could open the discussion, the roundtable discussion, which is not a roundtable at all, already open it to questions if you do have any questions.
Oh.
Otherwise, I'd break the ice. What came to my mind in all your presentations, is this working, hopefully, was that there are multiple layers of appropriation in Duchamp and in Sadan Afif as well. But there are also multiple layers of delegation, of delegating things. So Dieter Daniels was talking in his introductory remark, or left the question open, when something is ready. One can also ask, when is something made, when is something done? And what, at least when Thomas was talking about this this article appropriated by Duchamp, it came to my mind that delegation is very important when we talk about appropriation and when we talk about the ready-made as well. It was more a comment than a question. Would anybody like to elaborate on that or just leave it as a comment? I mean, it's very visible in your work, Sadan. You delegate things to other people, and one could also ask, what do you make yourself? You appropriate, yes, you tear out.
It's more using know-how. Know-how was already made, in a way. Some people know to do things more than I do, but sometimes the things they are doing can be meaningful for something I want to do, and I'm using a know-how.
But you also have people bringing the books to you. So
But I think for this work, it's really what I was trying to say. This is all the economic system of art is the energy or the makes this work possible. With all the different kind of exchange could be inside this economy. And this is the only the engine who makes this possible. An iconic, but I'm not so interested by the fountain, even if it's interesting to have it, even because the pages are ready made and all these things, so it's making some kind of. But I'm much more interested by the way and the work are creating narration. Where how we integrate artworks in our community, and this is I just use this icon with a simple rules to create a system which generating by itself the work now there are people commenting the work, everything's running by itself now.
You wouldn't consider yourself being a ready-made artist at all, would you?
I'm using the pages is already made, of course. Yeah. I'm not making those pages, but it's not. This work is not already made for sure. That's, I agree with you for that. And for sure, it's not already made, but it's just it's the result of long time process with rules dealing with the art world. Part is sell, part is exhibiting. Creating comment and all these things around a very famous work, iconographic work. When I say it's an epiphyte, like this kind of parasite, this kind of plants colonize other plants or something like that. That's like
I think it has to do also with the book itself, because it's already printed. And my idea was that Duchamp is in a way still a poet because he writes and he needs an editor. This is the idea with Arturo Schwarz. It's the same in literature, and the mechanization started 400 years before in literature. So this was the first area where typewriting was a kind of mechanization, and the question was the same: is this still literature if somebody is printing it, is editing it? So in a way, It's not a delegation, it's a kind of cooperation with somebody who's very professional in that way and who's a specialist in distribution. And this seems to be something new for me in the beginning of the 20th century, that the artist says, I need an editor to give something to society. I'm not the one who's the specialist in distribution systems.
I think what I find interesting about the delegation that you just pointed out is that, I mean, there can always be a to and fro, of course, but it's a delegation, and there's no interference by Duchamp after the delegation, or at least that we know of, in a way. But Duchamp always has the last word in it, just one little thing, and you call this the Treppenwitz of Duchamp scholarship, that those supposedly effortless reproductions of 1964 by Arturo Schwarz were all done painstakingly by hand, you know, to look as much as possible, as have you pointed out, at the lost originals, because all of them are lost except for one, and I've made that point before. The one ready-made that we still have today as the original ready-made, the one and only, except for the article, which of course, you know, exists many times, is the comb, which is in Philadelphia. And if you look at the comb of Arturo Schwarz of 1964, and we look at the original comb as a ready-made at the Philadelphia Museum, and you start counting the number of the teeth, you realize that the one by Arturo Schwarz has two teeth more than the original. And Duchamp just signs okay. He knows that it is not the original. Why did Arturo Schwarz, did he count wrong? And then you look at Duchamp's notes, and what do you have there in the first edition, the second edition of his notes of 1934, the Green Box? Two references that say, count the comb by the number of its teeth. You know, this is a mind game that is going on that throws in a whole different concept of inframas and how things that are coming from the same mold also can look different. Not two Cokes, can of Cokes look alike. So I think this is such an interplay that is coming in that keeps us as art historians, of course, busy and crazy at the same time. There's no solution to Marcel Duchamp. You always made the point, Lars, and I'm so happy for it. And although this sometimes looks like a hunt for solving a riddle, it's only... You made a great, you said it's a poly, there's poly truths.
Hypotopesis.
Pardon me?
Hypotopesis.
That was it. Yeah. Good. That's the one term. Thank you.
But Duchamp was an expert in contradiction. He input a lot of contradiction in his work. He was as well a chess player. We can probably imagine that he was a bit conscious of what he's doing. But maybe the main delegation, the most beautiful one, is again this very incredible sentence when he says that this is the beholder who is making the pictures, the delegation to the author to look at the work. And with this contradiction, he developed a lot of possibilities of interpretation and a lot of these possibilities of discussion, even today, still running today, because I think this kind of control of the vague of something, yeah, it's 32, you know, there are 32 dance, no, there are 30. And this is on all level, you can find this kind of...
Well, in April 1917, he not only appropriated a fountain, but he delegated. It is not sure if he bought himself the urinal. He invented a fictitious artist who he delegated the work to. Some of you showed this image from The Blind Man saying, by Richard Mutt, by Alfred Stieglitz. He delegated to make a reproduction, a photographic reproduction, and he even delegated to the Society of Independent Artists, saying the exhibit refused by the Society of Independent Artists. So everybody else did something, made something, but he himself seems to have done nothing. So this was the reason why I brought up this notion of delegation, because it helps putting the ready-made not only appropriation, not only in the field of consumption, but also in the field of production in a way, by mixing up these two entities, consumption and production, like Paper Weibel has suggested, by inventing a prosumer in contemporary consumer culture, we are not just consuming, we are not consumers, but we always produce something. We are always on the side of production. He calls this prosumership. And I think this intrigues me as far as you are concerned, but as far as Marcel Duchamp in 1917 is concerned as well. Because there is no such thing as only consumption, only appropriation. There are also, well, there's also production in a way.
And if we look at it from a historic point of view, you just bring up 1917, and we talk about the ready-made after the ready-made, and we talk about the whole thing of this being an iconoclastic gesture, and now it is an icon, of course, of modern and contemporary art still. But if I would argue that the ready-made after the ready-made is already Duchamp's ready-made of 1914, of 1917, because the discourse is already going on of whether not only photography should be art, we know about that discussion, but whether household fabricated objects should be art. 2 years prior to the 1917 refusal of that urinal, 2 years prior at the Newark Museum, just outside of New Jersey, just outside of Manhattan, there was Dana Cotton, the director, who put up three urinals on display in his museum, saying that common household objects should have the same should be regarded the same as oil painting. That's a quote of his that I just paraphrase. When Duchamp was in Munich and he got so carried away by the Bavarian trade fair, by the Deutsche Museum, where he, in both of these locations he saw as museum displays ready-made objects already, there was, of all people, Pascal Fortuny, who was the general consulate of 1915 in Munich from Paris, who writes an article on the front page of a Munich paper saying that a door lock and a straw basket should be considered works of art. So I think that with Duchamp's thinking about and the thinking that goes into the ready-mades, this is already a vital discussion that is going on.
Mm-hmm. Which links this back to the topic of the whole conference, the consumer side or goods. Still 5 minutes left if we want to stay in time, 10 minutes left if we give us 5 minutes more. I'd like to open the discussion to the auditorium. If there are any questions or comments at all, don't shy.
I have one question.
Yeah, there seem to be microphones anywhere.
Just sort of a simple question. I'm just wondering, is there a difference between a found object and a ready-made? Like, is there an obvious difference?
You mentioned the objet trouvé, which is not the same as a found
object. I
might
have missed your speech. Did you talk about this?
Yeah.
In the art historical way, to answer, the object has to be industrially produced and it has to be produced to be used. So it's not something which has a poetic character itself. So it has to be useful. And if you find a way to connect it with art, then it has a metaphorical dimension. So this could be an answer. And the other one is the objet trouvé, which means this can be anything, but just because now it exists in the context of art, you can see it as art, but it's not from the consumer good world.
The object, you can find something about the objet trouvé in André Breton, and who describes ordinary things that he finds who really, really, really emotionally struck him. So there's this fetish thing which is not in the ready-made at all, if we believe Duchamp. So there's a huge difference between these two things if you only look at Duchamp and Breton. Anything else?
Is there not a kind of fetishism looking at the fontaine as a Buddha, for instance?
If you look at it as a Buddha.
But no, because he wrote, it was behind the articles. So.
The articles were written by Louis Norton. I think we should really break it down to Louis Norton.
It's Louis Norton signing, but probably if I can imagine that he got a noise on it, no?
Unsigned, actually.
Just a footnote. The mud iron works where he presumably bought the urinal in former times in late 19th century began casting iron fountains. Just another indication that you're on the right track.
I wrote recently a book about prehistorical practice and the appearance of the figure in prehistorical practice. And apparently, they found on the cave, they found some objects who are coming from very far, kind of collections. And the hypothesis is like before making himself representation, he first gathers some object to make him thinking to something. He projects the symbolic on ready-made object, probably. That's probably the first art is ready-made then, or objet trouvé, let's say. Which is interesting because still today and something. Well, anyway.